Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the R Systems Q1 FY 2021 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Kumar. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rutuja. Good afternoon to all. I hope you and your loved ones are safe and in good health during this second wave of COVID-19. On behalf of R Systems, I welcome all participants to Quarter 1 2021 earnings conference call. We have senior management of R Systems with us in this call. We will start the call with opening remarks on the performance of the company by Dr. Rekhi, followed by financial overview by Mr. Nand, and business overview by Mr. Avira. Thereafter, we will have a closer statement by Dr. Rekhi. Subsequently, we will open up for a Q&A session. Before I hand over, let me read out the customary disclaimer statement on behalf of the company. Investors are cautioned this presentation may contain certain forward-looking statements that involve risk and uncertainty. The company undertakes no obligation publicly to update or revise any such statements. These statements may undertake revision because of new information, future events, or otherwise. Actual results, performance, achievements could differ from those expressed or implied in such forward-looking statements. Now, I pass it to Dr. Rekhi for his opening comment. Thank you. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Kumar. Good day, everybody, and thank you for being part of this investor call. This second wave has presented new challenges to all of us. As Kumar also mentioned, I too trust that all of you and your loved ones are keeping safe and keeping well. We in the company are also feeling some heat as few of our employees and their immediate families have got affected. We are concerned for their health and well-being and have been supporting them. I urge all of you to get vaccinated at the earliest opportunity. We are continuing to work from home. Moving to the business side, this pandemic has reinforced that technology forms the core of every business, whether traditional or digital. The businesses have accepted this new normal and have started exploring new products, business models to convert these challenges into opportunities. I'm extremely proud of R Systems team for their commitment and efficient working in these times. We concluded Quarter 1 for the financial year 2021 with a revenue of rupees 248 crores, that is $34 million. The year-on-year growth is about 18%. This growth has been outstanding on the back of technology and digital services. The EBITDA for Quarter 1 2021 was 12.5%, as against 9.6% same quarter last year and 16% in Quarter 4 2020. The EBITDA has improved against the same quarter last year, primarily on account of revenue growth and disciplined operations. However, EBITDA was lower against Quarter 4 2020, mainly due to salary increases and ramp-up costs. Profit after tax was rupees 25 crores as against rupees 9.5 crores same quarter last year and rupees 29.3 crores in Quarter 4 2020. We have a strong balance sheet with shareholder funds of rupees 448 crores and net cash balances of rupees 312 crores to support liquidity and growth. We serve $31 million-plus customers, including six customers contributing $3 million-plus revenues. We added six key customers. Digital continues to contribute over 40% of revenues. We added net 130-plus associates during the quarter to support our strong sales funnel. I will now hand over to Anant Sardana, our CFO, to provide a detailed financial analysis.
Thank you, Dr. Rekhi. Good morning to all. Good afternoon to all. Thank you, everybody, for attending the call. I do hope that everybody is staying safe and in good health. Let me go into detail of each line item of profitability statement. As Dr. Rekhi said, the revenue for the quarter was rupees 247.6 crores or $34 million, quarter-on-quarter increase of 4.7%, and year-on-year increase of 18.4%. Quarter-on-quarter increase is primarily on account of volume growth, and year-on-year increase is augmented by rupee depreciation in addition to volume growth. We witnessed robust revenue growth for our technology and digital services. We are quite optimistic for coming quarters and are strengthening our delivery team to cater to growth opportunities. We have added six key wins during the quarter. Getting down to gross margins, it was 34.7% in this quarter compared to 37.6% in last quarter and 35% in the same quarter last year. Reduction of 2.9% quarter-on-quarter resulted from salary increments, impact of lesser billable days, and reduced utilization. Lesser utilization is mainly due to ramp-up costs on the new project and strengthening of our delivery team. Getting down to SG&A expense line, SG&A expenses increased quarter-on-quarter by rupees 4.2 crores. It was rupees 55 crores in this quarter compared to rupees 50.8 crores last quarter. The increase is mainly due to increase in sales and marketing spend, and there was a reversal of provision of doubtful debt in last quarter. EBITDA in this quarter was rupees 30.9 crores or $4.23 million compared to rupees 38 crore or $5.16 million last quarter and rupees 20.1 crore or $2.78 million in the same quarter last year. As a percentage of revenue, EBITDA was 12.5% in this quarter compared to 16.1% last quarter and 9.6% same quarter last year. On year-on basis, EBITDA margin have improved significantly consequent to revenue growth from technology and digital practices, improved utilization along with rupee depreciation. EBITDA margin on quarter-on-quarter basis was mainly impacted by salary raises and lower utilization. We are committed for further improving the yearly EBITDA numbers during 2021. Getting down to depreciation, the total expense was rupees 6.3 crores compared to rupees 6 crore last quarter and rupees 6.6 crores same quarter last year. Interest expense is rupees 1.3 crores in this quarter compared to rupees 1.4 crore last quarter. Interest expense is primarily due to adoption of Ind AS 116 and we are nearly debt free. Other income in this quarter were positive rupees 5.1 crores compared to rupees 4.4 crores last quarter. Other income mainly consists of interest income and exchange gains. Interest income for the quarter was rupees 1.8 crores. The exchange income for the quarter is rupees 2.7 crores compared to rupees 1.8 crore last quarter. Exchange gain are mainly due to mark-to-market gain on restatement of outstanding forward covers. As at the end of quarter, we had total forward cover of $27.2 million with average rate of rupees 76.92 and euro cover of 2 million with average rate of rupees 90.73. These have already been marked to market at closing rate of 31st March. We have consistently followed this conservative accounting instead of parking such non-cash loss in balance sheet through hedge accounting. Our tax expense was rupees 3.6 crore in this quarter as against rupees 3.9 crores last quarter. Our effective tax rate now is in the range of 12.5%, primarily due to affiliate benefits and lower corporate tax rate in European and Singapore subsidiaries. Net profit after tax was rupees 25.4.9 crores or $3.4 million compared to rupees 29.3 crore or $4 million last quarter. Resultant EPS for the quarter is rupees 2.08. Getting now to asset side in the balance sheet, total receivable at the end of quarter were rupees 129.2 crores compared to rupees 131.3 crores at the end of December quarter. The receivable in terms of DSO were 52 days as at end of this quarter compared to 43 days as at the end of December quarter. This is mainly due to timing reason, and our realization from the customer has been in line. Net cash balance were rupees 311.6 crores at the end of the quarter compared to rupees 303.1 crores at the end of December quarter. We have been constantly generating cash from the business. Our system shareholder funds were rupees 447.6 crore at the end of the quarter compared to rupees 426.8 crore at the end of December quarter. As Dr. Lekhi said, we have a strong balance sheet to support liquidity and growth in these challenging times. With that, let me hand over to Avirajji for review of operation. Avirajji.
Thank you, Nan. Thanks, everybody, for being on the call. I hope everybody is doing good. We continue to focus on digital technology and digital transformation projects. The strategy has helped us to get momentum. I would like to give you a brief flavor of our global operations. Digital transformation continued to be the focus for us on select key verticals like technology, telecom, finance, insurance, healthcare, life science, retail, and e-commerce. Our digital transformation offering include cloud analytics, machine learning, artificial intelligence, data and speech analytics, robotics, process automation, IoT, and Salesforce. These continue to be our arrowhead for growth. In the cloud, we work on all the leading platforms such as Amazon, Microsoft Azure, Google. We are advanced partner with Amazon and gold partner with Salesforce. We see significant traction in cloud space and see high growth in these areas for us. In analytics, we have high growth in ML and AI, data and speech analytics. We are currently serving many key clients in this space. On mobility, we work on wide range of technology and devices such as Android, Azure, hybrid, right from web apps to enterprise applications. We had 6 key wins during this period. The brief of the wins are under product life cycle. A US-based software solution provider for the infrastructure sector has mandated our system to develop a cloud-based rental solution to allow their existing fleet management software to support supplementary vehicles. Another one is the largest mining company in Canada have engaged our system to deliver a digital rating solution to rate the responsible mining and mineral development to enhance operational efficiency. Another one is a US-based technology company having expertise in hands-free solution for frontline workers. They have engaged our system to develop a robust suite of cloud service to accelerate the rollout of connected work programs. Another one, a leading mobile marketing platform provider helping enterprise create powerful brands has mandated our system Europe to digitally revamp their existing solution and implement a robust framework for obsolete messages. Under Southeast Asia, Singapore, the motor and travel insurance company of Singapore, owned by UK-based insurance group, has awarded our system APAC to implement Dynamics 365 CRM, sales and service, customer service solution, to automate and integrate their operations. In terms of our headcount, increased from 2,672 in Q4 to 2,800 in Q1. We have added 130 technical associates to support a strong sales funnel. On-site utilization is 95.4% and offshore is 76.5%. Utilization was lower in Q1, mainly due to ramp-up in new projects and hiring to support strong sales funnel. Quarterly on geography, North America continued to be the largest, 67.5%, Europe 14.2%, Southeast Asia 15.7%, and rest of the world 2.6%. On quarterly client concentration, top 10 clients give us 28.1% and the largest client is about 8.1%. With that brief, I will hand over to Dr. Rekhi for his closing comments. Over to you, Dr. Rekhi.
Thank you, Avirag. Let me sum up. We've started financial year 2021 with a strong revenue growth towards high margin digital and technology services. We continue to work from home to meet customers' expectations along with safe work environment for our employees. We continue to invest in people and in newer technologies, and this is helping us to win larger digital transformation projects. Further, we are confident of our margin expansion in the rest of 2021 backed by the strong sales funnel and disciplined operations. We remain focused to partner with customers in delivering successful digital transformation solutions. We endeavor to utilize strong balance sheet to support operations and growth. That brings us to the end of our presentation today, and we will hand you back to the organizers for your questions and answers.
Thank you very much. So we'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Tushar Khadana from Edixon. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you for taking my question. My question is on the attrition rate of the organization, and my second question is what is the growth outlook in terms of top line that you are seeing for the next 3 to 5 years, given the fact that the world is moving to digitization? Thank you.
Thank you, Tushar. So to answer your first question, attrition rate. See, attrition rate at senior level, like project manager and above, is almost, I would say, not even 1 or 2%, very negligible. But attrition rate at junior level would be in the range of 10 to 15%, moves between, depending upon the time periods. But 10 to 15% is the attrition at junior level. Coming on to the growth outlook, other than the last year when we were impacted by the pandemic, we grew 8% last year. Previous 2-3 years, if you see, we have grown between 12 to 18%, and we do hope that we will be able to grow. If you see this quarter, year on year, we have grown 18%, quarter on quarter close to 5%. So we are hungry for growth, both organically. We are even equally looking for inorganic growth as well. So to give you output, next 3 years, if we get doubled, it's not a surprise. So that is the aim, and the management is committed to grow the fastest.
Okay, thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Sameer Rathi, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. My question is that during the last con call, Mr. Rekhi, you had told that the dividend paid was on January 2020 and that the dividend was ₹1.50. Also, you alluded to that there will be some kind of a policy for rewarding the shareholders, maybe like predicting some kind of method for being more predictable and some roadmap, either in terms of buyback or in terms of dividend or something of that sort. I want that you should, in case you are in position, to throw more light as to what kind of dividend policy you are envisaging for the near future.
Thank you, Mr. Sameer. It's a good question. Actually, we declared the dividend in January 2020, 115%, as you rightly said. We have a plan to kind of reward shareholders either through dividend or buyback, and we are working towards that. You know, we are equally growth for hungry for the growth, and somehow we are trying to maintain a balance. But I think I take your point that this dividend or buyback is long overdue. There was a discussion in previous 2-3 meetings, but I can't disclose you from a confidentiality reason. We kind of postponed that decision. But I think there is a serious discussion going on. So we are working on that. You have to be bear with us on that.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jagdishwar Toku from Japa Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. You know, I have three questions. First of all, you know, congratulations on good set of numbers. And as Dr. Ricky said, you know, these are challenging times. Second wave has impacted the company in terms of employees. And I'm sorry for that. So I would like to know in terms of, you know, safety and security of your employee, their better health, you know, being in terms of vaccination of your staff and employee and maybe their family members, whether it is possible to, you know, import a vaccine from abroad and get them vaccinated here in India. Most of your resources, they are in Noida. And as a shareholder, we are concerned about the, you know, safety of your staff. So if you could elaborate the feasibility of your staff and their family being vaccinated. I know this is a very, very challenging time for everyone. Everybody is working from home. And if you could eliminate this uncertainty from the, you know, the mind of the employee, you know, it will address, you know, I would say, you know, good growth or good, you know, productivity or good welfare in terms of your company growth.
Thank you, Jagdishwar. Very, very valid questions. I want to tell you that safety of employees is the paramount importance to us. When this last year, this pandemic started sometime towards the end March, we immediately moved almost 100% employee to work from home. I mean, I would say even now also accepting few, you know, very, very critical, maybe 4 or 5 employees. Otherwise, all the employees are working from home since last March. It's almost now, I would say, 14, 15 months. So it is very important for us, and we consider the health and safety of employees as very, very important. We at our system have, everybody knows that the first wave was not that, you know, that serious from employees' health point of view, but the second wave has been really very serious in the sense that a lot of our employees got infected, especially based out of India, got infected. And we as a management try to help them in whatever ways we help them in getting medicines, getting, you know, oxygen, helping them if they need some beds in the hospital. It's very hard, you know, the situation in Delhi and in Noida around. It is very hard. But whatever best we could do through our HR, admin and our resources, we have helped our employees and their families up to the utmost. We are encouraging our employees to get vaccinated as soon as possible. I mean, a token incentive has also been announced. Any employee who gets vaccinated, so just to promote that, we have announced that. In addition, we have tied up with some hospitals in Noida and in Delhi where, you know, employees can go and we help them in getting registration and all that. As you would know that right now there is a lot of vaccination shortage and all that. So that thing is going on, but at our system, we have tried our best to kind of provide them, you know, faster vaccination. Now your question of importing and other things, I don't know how much it is feasible. We tried to check that, but as of now, I think it is not that feasible. But if there is a possibility of mass vaccination for the employees through our office and all that, we'll not leave any stone unturned, take my words on that.
Thank you. Thank you so much, sir. My second question is with respect to, you know, your press release on few data points, you know, in page 8. It is with respect to key balance sheet data. If you have the table in front of you, I just would like to, you know, understand The receivable number as on 31st March is 1291, roughly about 1,291 million rupees. And December 31st, if you see 2020, it is 1,312 million rupees. But I see the receivable in days, DSO, has increased from 52 day, from 43 days to 52 days. You know, there is a roughly about 10 days, 9 days, you know, increase, despite the fact that your receivable is almost flat. And I would believe that the turnover has increased, you know, rolling 4 quarter, the turnover would have increased. So numerator, denominator, you know, whatever way I look it, you know, I can't reconcile the receivable days, you know, increase of 9 days from the data point. So can you check this one, and can you let me know if it is possible to check it now or later on, how the receivable days, you know, DSO has increased?
Mr. Jagdishwar, I must tell you, you are a very smart accountant. Anyway, so I'll try to explain to you because when I also saw that similar question, I tell you what happened. You know, the way DSO is calculated, it is based on opening and closing average date. So sometimes there is a timing issue. Sometimes you make the billing on 31st, and if you make the billing on 1st, because of the timing issue, you know, these kind of things happen. Secondly, you know, this quarter, our unbilled has increased. I mean, unbilled increases means that you close the accounts by unbilled, but you build it within a week's time. It's not otherwise any alarming kind of an increase. So because of this timing reason and unbilled, I mean, this ideally the you know, if it is like 42 and 50, I mean, 42 or 3 days difference, you would not even notice. So even I also noticed, and this is the explanation that I went through, and so there is no problem on that. Okay. But
I give you a sir.
Yeah, sure. But if you, I tell you, from an industry point of view, even the biggies like Infosys, TCS, they have between 55 to 60 days kind of receivables. Our receivable are, I would say, normally between 52 to 60 days. So there's some kind of an accounting thing, and one, if you know that recently, you know, that it is mandated to issue an e-invoice and all that. Because of that, you know, 1 or 2 days plus minus an invoicing we had to do because it was the start of the thing. But otherwise, I think we are more or less in compliance, and our the DSO is, or at a high level, you assume that our DSO is close to 50 to 55 days. This is what is the norm, and we'll continue, and there is no serious concern on any of the receivables.
No, no, I'm not saying concern. It is one of the best in the industry. You know, I have completely agree with your, you know, thoughts. It's one of the best I have seen myself tracking so many other companies of your, you know, size. So it is one of the best. I mean, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. If I ask one more question. This is with respect to, you know, one gentleman earlier also asked about the dividend, and you also pointed out, you know, you will seriously, you know, evaluating investor, you know, reward, you know, and decision in terms of how to reward the investors. Now, there is a recent SEBI guideline which has come, you know, in terms of dividend payout policy, and I would believe that your company would also, you know, qualify for that. So, have you given a thought on the dividend payout policy, or are you working, or will you be working? If you will be working, when soon can we get a note on that in BSE website or in your website about the dividend payout policy? You know, SEBI has now, you know, requested all the 1,000 top, you know, market cap company to have the dividend policy, you know, in place. So your thoughts on that, and when can we expect paper or your notes on dividend payout policy?
Yeah, you are right. We have recently been covered, I think from 1st May, or I think we have recently been covered in that dividend policy. So I think we should be uploading it very soon within the allotted time, whatever is the time allowed. And on coming on to the declaration of dividend, I mean, it's a little price sensitive information. So I can't commit that I will give we will give the dividend in next quarter or after 10
no,
years.
Not dividend. I'm talking about the payout policy.
We will be putting it before as per the policy. I am aware of this. So we will be putting it soon, I think. I'll let you know maybe if you have an email address and if you could send your just email address on. We have your email. So I'll send you whenever it is posted and you can have a look on that.
Yeah, I'll access from the VAC. No problem. Thank you so much, sir. My best wishes and, take care and stay safe for you and your employees and their family. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, Deputy Sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Alok Tripathi, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so, congratulations about the numbers, and it's a little concerning that the employees are now being affected. So, first of all, do we have a number that how many employees are affected? What policy?
Hello?
Sorry, but the line of Mr. Tripathi got disconnected. We would request whoever wishes to ask a question, may press and 1.
So I'll answer the question once Bhavuk Tripathi joins. In the meantime, if any other question is there, so we can go ahead with that.
Ladies and gentlemen, anyone who wishes to ask a question, may press star and 1 now. Participants, you may press star and 1 to ask a question.
Then the number precisely today is 37. Unwell at home. All of them are reasonably in good shape. Nobody requires oxygen. Yesterday, 3 recovered. At the peak, we had north of 110 people unwell.
Right, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I can hear you, sir. I can hear you. We're just waiting since Bhavuk asked this question. If he joins, so, then we answer.
When you answer him, I wanted you to ready with the numbers.
Sure.
Today's number is precisely 37, with 3 recovered yesterday, no cases in the hospital, and at the peak we had between 110 to 112, with almost 12 hospitalizations. So that is how it stands today. Not one of these cases require oxygen.
Thank you. Shall we move ahead with the next question?
Yes.
The next question is a follow-up question from the line of Jagdishwar Topo from Japa Investments. Please go ahead.
Sorry to ask this question. I just wanted to know how is your staff, safety and security of your staff situation elsewhere in Europe and America? Are they fully vaccinated and also in Asia? How is the situation if you could highlight, the status?
So I tell you, in Noida, in India, we have close to 3,200 employees. So out of that, 2,300 are in India. So above 45, at least I would say that most of them have already been, first dose has already been administered. I would say most of them, or some of them would have got the second dose, and some would be under kind of, they will be getting the second dose.
between 18, above 18 to 45, I think there will be very few because, as you know, that in India there is a shortage and it started on first, but I think it is going on not at a good pace. So that is the India situation. In Romania and Poland, I am told that people, most of the people have at least first vaccination has been done. And maybe the same situation like above 45 in India. In US also, I know that I would say maybe half of them would have got vaccinated and half of them would be getting. So we are encouraging everybody to kind of get vaccinated soon. In Singapore also, I know that a lot of them have been vaccinated. To be honest with you, I do not have exact data as of now, but maybe this is a good question you have raised. Maybe in the next investor call, we'll present that data, how many of our employees have got vaccinated. But I know that most of the people, whosoever is getting the opportunity is getting vaccinated soon. And we are internally, you know, we are sending a lot of, you know, circulars and all that people get vaccinated. And as I told you, that small incentive is also given for vaccination.
Sure, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavok Tripathi, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I was talking and I think we had a issue with the line. So I think you have been addressing something. I didn't get to hear whether you have a policy as a backup plan for the resources getting disrupted for COVID so that the customers are protected from disruptions. So is there a policy that you've come up with or a plan that you've come up with as a if there are disruptions and is there like increased brain strength or something like that?
Yes, Bhavok, actually your line got dropped. So let me answer the question. As on date, we have 37 employees who are recovering and there is no hospitalization as of now. A month before or 2-3 weeks before, at a peak, there were around 110 employees who were kind of infected, but that number is now reduced to 37. So that is the status as of now. As I said that we are providing whatever facility in the form of, you know, helping them with, you know, providing oxygen cylinders or oxygen concentrators, medicines, ambulance and all that. And in some cases, we have helped them getting admitted to hospital as well. Coming on to your question on how this is impacted. To some extent, you know, April, there is an impact of close to $150,000 or so in the month of April because of employees being on leave. I have a feeling that the May impact would be lesser compared to April since the things have improved and as I said. So I think we our utilization is close to 76%, 75-76% in Noida. So we have a bench strength when we take care of if the person is not there. But, you know, some impact, as I said, 150,000 is there. Maybe Avirajji can, Avirajji, you may also add on this, please.
Yeah, thank you, Nanji. And as you rightly said, right now, our people who are down are about 30, 35 people. Bhavuk, just let you know, almost on an average in a project, we have like 15 to 20% extra people for the contingency, for against any attrition, against any leave, and that help us in ramp up, etc. So people who are down, you know, because of COVID or any reason, some of these rookies who are there, they try to backfill. In some cases, because of people who are directly at a client location, we are not able to backfill. So there is a 15 to 20% contingency all the time in a project or an account that we maintain. And that helps us, you know, for various purposes. So at peak, we were about...
The thing is that there must be some key people. See, normal bench strength is okay, and you have some 15-20% extra. Like, there must be some key and critical people who are important. You know, that means that the project will suffer. So, if there is a $150,000 loss in April of revenue because of you know, projects not getting completed due to employees not being available, well, that is a concern. More importantly is that the customer should not start feeling, because there has been a great push in the last couple of years for this near-shoring from the US. And this COVID in other industries at least has reiterated that push towards nearshoring. So it should not happen that we get an, you know, a reliability issue because of COVID. So I think as a company, we have to ensure that we don't let any customer, their supply chain suffer because of our, so importance would be that the critical employees because of whom we are not able to complete projects, let's say, or there is, they should have, we should focus very strongly on them, identify them, focus on them, and provide them like some kind of a shadow person, because I see another probably around 100 days of this enhanced, you know, the COVID wave in India. Now, and it's important that you provide those key employees because of whom the project may come to a standstill. Those should be identified and some kind of alternate backup plan, even if you have to, you know, have some shadow employees with them or something. I mean, that's, and I'm sure every industry is doing their own bit on preparing for this. Because I see a mindset amongst customers in general, in different industries, that let's try and stick to, you know, areas. The reputation damage for India is, I think, the biggest problem out of this this wave. That it should not happen that the people start looking actively for alternatives. So I'm just trying to suggest that it's very important that no customer gets affected in terms of the supply, you know, their projects and all that. So that I would just urge that you people have a very robust plan that even if a few people are, if you're saying 37, out of a 2,200 or something in India, that's around, you know, 1.5%. But 150,000 out of, let's say, a run rate of 10 million is a high, but from Noida, it's a lower, let's say, run rate per month. So, I mean, I'm a little concerned about that, if that's the case, and more out of the reputation damage. So I think there should be some kind of communication to customers of the plan that we have and why it will not affect. And, you know, I'm sure you guys have already thought of it, but I think I'm seeing a lot of right now, overall, India is being viewed as a little bit of unreliability because of this healthcare emergency. In the long term, could affect the image. So I'm just suggesting that come up with some sort of a plan which, in, you know, assures customers that this company is smart and it's got a plan in place or something.
Virat, can I come in here? Bhavuk,
yes,
you are a visionary, and all of it that you have said has a lot of weight behind it. I understand that. I want to tell you that during this tiny crisis, all my delivery heads made out-of-the-way efforts to get in touch with their clients, and they have maintained touch throughout this period. I am personally in touch with some of our key clients who were a little affected, and I have personally talked to them. I have personally reassured them that this support will not be found wanting. Thirdly, we do have standbys for all our critical resources. I'll just mention to you that we have at least 10 to 15%, actually it is close to 20% standbys that we have on all projects. And these guys readily step into the shoes of anybody who is unwell or who is off for whatever reasons. So all of these steps are in place, and our clients fully understand that we will live up to this situation and we will do justice to the job that has been entrusted to us. And lastly, the fact that new business continues to flow in, even at a better pace during this time, speaks for itself that these clients have continued faith in us. So all that I want to tell you is that while we have 37 people down today, but you won't believe, but the fact is that 50% of them, despite being a little unwell, are already working from their homes. Out of these 37, 50% roughly are working from home. We are keeping track of every single individual that is affected by COVID.
Jinnah, thank you for that. And obviously, your leadership is amazing. So that I have no doubt. That my point only remains that the impact of decision making at the top level. So if orders are flowing in right now, that may be a compulsion, because there's so much work out there in this digital economy because of the pandemic. The important thing is that these are long-term decisions taken by customers. They're not done overnight. And like you know, that the Goras are known for their planning in the long term. So this is a decision. What should happen is that, and I'm sure I'm just trying to reiterate that they will not only look for flowery words from us, what they will see is what is the actual impact in terms of what is their, the delivery from our side. So I'm just saying, as long as you've got a plan for critical resource, you may have 15-20%, I mean, that will affect our profitability. You cannot just bloat that up to a high number. What is, I think, very crucial is that we have in each project, we identify the three or four people without whom that project didn't come to a grinding halt. And those three or four should, first of all, be special care taken for their health. And secondly, there should be some kind of others being trained to step into their shoes as soon as possible. That is kind of shadow, for the critical skills. So I'm sure you and Aviraj and everybody will come up with a plan. It's just a suggestion. The second thing is that I think the company should, and this is nothing of the near-shoring part of it, it's very important that we develop some kind of presence in that area, the geography. And I say this for multiple reasons. One is that ultimately all of us are working towards shareholder value, right? And shareholder value, I mean, that's the finance 101, that the reason d'etre for the existence of any corporation is maximizing shareholder value. Now, if you look at today, the valuations that Indian IT services companies are getting, okay, are lower compared to American or Latin American or nearshoring companies, and by a factor of 2 or 3. That means if there is a company which is only doing, that which is perceived as an Indian IT services company, and if you look at a company that is perceived as a, like a nearshoring US play, that you're looking at the EBITDA multiples are almost double or triple of those kind of plays. So I think as a long-term vision for the company, we should think about having an alternate presence in the, let's say, the Mexican or Latin American market, where the customer gets reassured again that along with being an India-centric offering, that we also have, that will give us higher valuation, which in the long run is always good for the company for M&A activity or just in general as a currency in our pockets, but also will give a lot of confidence and credibility. So this is a suggestion of mine that we should see the valuations are very high. So right now an acquisition globally in tech is very expensive. So what we have been doing in the past, those kind of acquisitions at 5 times, 6 times, 7 times EBITDA will not be feasible right now. And since our corporate culture is not such that we are going to, and neither I think the set of investors want that you suddenly go and do some very high valuation, high risk acquisition. we should also consider that if doing some greenfield expansion in those markets, you know, would, because I think we've missed the bus on the acquisition in the last, we've been building up on cash for the last 2, 3, 4, 5 years, but the expensive, the acquisitions have become very expensive now. So if you look that, if you're looking at a EBITDA margin to finish out this year at, let's say, 14-15%, because a higher growth, the revenue should go primarily now to the bottom line, because, you know, that's how it works when sales are increasing. So if you end up with a sales of, let's say, approximately 140 million or so, and with a 14-15% EBITDA, then you're talking in terms of around $21-22 million in EBITDA. But if you look at the valuation today, if you take out the cash of 400 crores, you know, you're struggling at a valuation of 1,200-1,300 crores, which is around approximately $160-170 million. So you're not even getting a 10 times EBITDA multiple for your future cash flow for this year, expected cash flow. Now, that, whereas if you go to do an acquisition today, you'll find that things are not available below 15, 20 times EBITDA. So there are 2 points, you know, sometimes my mind races. And so the 2 points that come out of that, one is that we have missed the acquisition bus at a time where it was more reasonable. It's going to be very difficult to get quality acquisitions at this point. And the second part is, which you'll realize, that the America-centric or North America-centric with Latin American presence, the acquisition costs are going to be much higher. The multiples are much higher there. So the on the one hand, I would recommend we do at least a small buyback, because our valuations are so low and we are sitting on cash and we get generating more cash all the time. So the small shareholders who are not, you know, involved in being employees of the company, or, you know, who don't have a, these are, let's say, I think they'll be benefited a lot, and even the company will be utilizing its resources much better if you do at least like a, you know, 10 or 20 crore, like $2 million or $1 million buyback. I think that is a very solid signal to the market about our faith in the stock and our faith in the valuation. And again, given the valuations of most of the companies in India, but also globally, I think they're selling at a very low valuation. Now, that low valuation is coming out of the fact that we have a margin of 10 or 12% compared to, let's say, the regular software services companies in India having at least an 18-20% EBITDA margin. And on the other side, on a global level, if you look at our valuations, a sort of a development center in the you know, nearshoring markets of the US would give us a very good valuation on the one hand and a lot of confidence with customers on the other hand. So I think growth and strong EBITDA margins are the key. Consistent growth and strong EBITDA margins are the key. Everything else is, you know, secondary in terms of value creation. And we have had a choppy sales. If you look at the last 15 years, the sales has been all over the place. You know, sometimes we sold some company, or then there was an issue with up and down. So we are stabilizing very well on this now, this kind of CAGR of 15-20%. That is good. But I think we need one step up jump in terms of a solid move. And if that involves, because if you don't want to pay a lot of cash, then it may involve, you know, merger through some sort of share valuation. So I think I would urge the management to look at the fact that remaining a $150 million company is probably not what either the management wants or what the shareholders want. And there should be innovative ideas for growth and expansion. I'm just naming a few. You people know best, but I felt that having high growth through some M&A activity, but also through a nearshoring center somewhere. And on the other hand, I suggested, let's say, a small buyback of some sort, some token buyback, so that small shareholders are, and the market gets a real reassurance that the company believes in its valuation. While you await what Nand was alluding to, some confidential information that that may be related to, you're not allowed to do a dividend right now or something. I mean, that's what I understood out of it. So while you await that, for some sort of a small, so the reason I'm rushing through all these points is I have another call and I need to go, but I want to congratulate the whole team and the Dr. Reiki's leadership that has done a great job. And Avirag and Nand and General, I mean, congratulations to all of you and your entire team. I just had to rush through these points. So if you can all ponder upon them and come up with some kind of strategy, unfortunately, I'll not be able to stay for the answer, but I would still recommend that please review this, and if there is, you can either reply to me by email or just in whatever way, we can have a call separately or something at some point. But and I think I'll have one of my analysts or something listening, my assistants listening into the, and he can update me also later. So thank you once again, and all the best for the coming quarters.
Thank you. Points well made and well taken. We will have an inside debate.
So, thank you, Bhavuk. As you said, that one of your analysts. So, let me touch upon the points you have raised so that your analyst can brief you. So, Bhavuk had raised 2-3 points. The first point was having a Mexican or a Latin American or USA center. So I want to answer here that we already are in the USA. We are present in Sacramento, Chicago, and Bay Area as well. And we have a small development center there. But we are trying to acquire some companies in Mexican and Latin America. In fact, in one of the company, we reached at at the bidding stage also, where we made an offer as well. But somehow that deal did not materialize. And which Bhavuk said that because the valuations were expensive, what we offered and what was their expectation, there was a huge difference in that. Having said that, we are conscious of that, and we are looking for some kind of a company in Latin America. And we feel that nearshore has its own advantages, and we'll continue to look for that. The second question on buyback, as I already answered, that we are evaluating buyback dividend, and whenever we feel that this is the right time, we are seriously looking into that, and more, I think, let the board decide on that. And thirdly, on M&A, yeah, we are always open for acquisitions, and we are always looking for the companies which can be complementary. There we look for capabilities, either good clientele or good talent base. So whenever we get these kind of opportunities, we will be open for that. So these are the answer to the question, and thank you. We respect your guidance, and we know that on the valuation point of view, we understand that, and we are trying to be more and more diversified companies as possible. Thank you. Any other question? Operator?
No, sir. We don't have anyone in the question queue.
So you may close, please.
Thank you. I would like to hand the conference over to Dr. Reiki for his closing comments.
Thank you very much. I want to thank all of the people who joined the call for their good guidance to us, and we appreciate. And we again stress that keep safe and take care of yourself. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of our systems, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.
Bless you.
Thank you.